Once again, we are thinking about the Lord's days, and today we're on Lord's Day 51, actually. So let's hear the question and say the answer together. What does the fifth petition mean? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors means, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined as evidence of your grace in us to forgive our neighbors. And the scripture that we are going to look at today and reflect upon is found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant! He said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tormented until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of us, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. I'm going to give you an example of a man who was truly forgiving. His name is Ethero. But I wanted to think about our own circumstances a little before I talk about him and read his story. Because many of the things that we refuse to forgive are really quite trivial. You know, when you balance them against the big things of life, they don't really mean that much. We don't want to forgive because someone said an unkind word to us or even had a tone of voice that we didn't like. Someone cut us off in traffic and we don't want to forgive that. We mumble a bunch of bad words to ourselves and go on our way, thankful that we didn't get hit. Or maybe we set a time where we were going to meet someone and we showed up and they weren't there because we had the time wrong or they had the time wrong. And they had the time wrong, so we get mad at them and we won't forgive them because they messed up. You see, a lot of ours are trivial. You ate the last piece of cake. Well, come on, get over it. But then some things aren't trivial and they're hard to forgive. And that's why I want to talk and read to you about Ethero. I don't know if I pronounce his name right, but there's a picture of him up there anyway. Ethero and his family were hiding in their church in the Central African Republic when rebels entered the building and killed his wife, two children, and brother. In the chaos, Ethero managed to escape, but his family members, murderers, continued to replay in his mind until he eventually received help and healing from the trauma. My thoughts and orientation in life are toward God and the cross of Jesus, he said. In my heart, I have been able to forgive these perpetrators totally. I now help other people in the church who have been traumatized. Like I said, measure what you have to forgive against something like Ethero had to forgive. They killed his family. They killed other people that he knew and loved. And he was having trouble with that. I'm sure I would too. But then he realized how to forgive through the cross of Jesus Christ, where he was forgiven, he could turn and forgive also. And we're called in all of life to be forgiving. That's the type of people we're supposed to be, forgiving people. We should not hold grudges. We should not try to get even. We should be forgiving. Now, in this passage that we had, Peter and Jesus has been talking about forgiveness, and now Peter asks a question about forgiveness. How many times shall I forgive my brother? And he comes with the answer, 7 times. Seems pretty generous, doesn't it? Forgive 7 times when they sin against you. You see, he had this idea of forgiveness, that forgiveness had a limit. There was a time that you could reach and you did not have to forgive anymore. It had a limit, and it was 7 times. 7 times you tell your husband, put your dirty socks in the clothes hamper, and then the 8th time comes and now there's got to be consequences. Because he's not doing what you want. Or you say to your wife, you know, I get some of the counter space in this bathroom too, dear. You would say it nice like that, I'm sure. But you know, it goes on and on and on. You just, after 7 times, you stop forgiving, and some of her favorite things are missing all of a sudden. Or, you know, you have a neighbor who just constantly lets his cow get out in your field. So you forgive him 7 times, and then you have hamburger. Now, why am I doing this? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Because you got the point when you laughed. Because it's ludicrous to say, I'll just forgive 7 times. That is putting a limit on forgiveness. No matter how many times the cow's in the corn, hey, it's your cow. He's out here again. Please take him back. You forgive. You forgive. And Jesus then says, well, I tell you, 77 times. Now, if Peter is sitting there with his calculator and then says, well, I'm up to 70, so I only have 7 more, he's missing the whole point. Because what Jesus is saying is, there is not a limit to the times that you forgive. You forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive. He's counteracting Peter's desire to have a time and a limit on forgiveness. And so Jesus says 77 times. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. You don't say, well, I'm on 68 already of forgiveness here. I'm going to just forgive a few more times. No, there's no record. There's no ledger. It's gone. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And that's the way we're to be. Jesus, you see, had a different answer. Jesus then tells a parable to clarify how we are to forgive from our heart. See, Peter's forgiveness wasn't from his heart. It was from his mind. I'm up to six. You get one more. It's not the heart. And he hasn't really been forgiving. He's been counting. And so, Jesus tells this parable. It's about the kingdom of heaven. So it's about us and those who are part of the kingdom of heaven. He says this is what it's like. A king says it's time to settle up accounts. It's time for you to come in and pay back what you owe me. And so he has a servant come in, and that servant owes him 10,000 talents. I want you to get this picture in your mind. That's why these bricks are up here, not just for the kids. That's 1,000. Seating would be very difficult if I had 10,000 of those in here. 10,000 talents is an absurd number of talents. An impossible number of talents to repay. Remember, I talked to the kids about a denarius? One denarius was one day wage. A person would, making a daily wage, a normal daily wage, would have to work 200,000 years just to get 10,000 talents. 200,000 years for 10,000 talents. But this man says to his master, "You wait, I'll pay it back. You be patient with me and I'll pay it back." His master knows he can't pay it back. Maybe in today's, I was trying to find out what this would be like in today's money. And everybody gets somewhere between $3 and $5 billion, 10,000 talents. So he can't pay it back. He can't make enough to pay it back. It'll never happen. But he begs that this monumental amount will be forgiven. I want you to understand, I'm going to talk about King Solomon just a minute here because this will help you understand how great his debt was. Every year, King Solomon would have about 600 to 700 talents come into his treasury. He's the richest man in the world. He's the richest man in the world. And he has this much coming in every year. Well, the math is pretty easy, you know. He's not going to make this in 10 years. He's not going to make 10,000 talents in 10 years. It's going to take longer. And he's the richest. He's the richest. So he can't pay it back. He can't possibly pay it back. So he begs. That's the only thing he can do. And the master looks at him. It's an interesting thing, too, that I want to point out here. He was going to sell his wife to repay the debt and his children and everything else. He wasn't even going to put them in prison. He was just going to sell them. So they were going to be slaves. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. There was mercy. There was pity. And he let him go. His sins were many, but his mercy was more. The man who owed 100 denarii now comes on the scene, and the man who owed 10,000 talents sees him, and he doesn't just talk to him about it, does he? What does he do? He grabs the man by his neck. He threatens him with death. "Pay me this 100 denarii." Well, like I said to the children, he could work for a third of the year and possibly pay that back. Or maybe over a couple years if he's doing it in installments. You know, but he could pay it back. It wasn't an insurmountable debt. It was a reasonable debt. It was something that could be paid. So he chokes him, demands it. And he begs, using the same words, basically, that the other man said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. I mean, the first time, it's a ridiculous statement. Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back. Not going to happen. Forgiven anyway. So he says the same thing. But his response is this. He throws him in jail. He throws him in jail along with his family to pay the debt. I always thought about that. How do you pay a debt from jail? It just seemed like it would have been better for him to keep him out of jail and work out some kind of plan, right? But he's so angry that this man hasn't paid his debt that he is going to throw him in jail. Even though he asked for mercy, he could not receive mercy from someone who had received great, immeasurable mercy. So they go and tell the master about this. And the master is not at all pleased, is he? In fact, he calls the one who owed 10,000 talents a wicked servant. He shows that he is wicked by what he does, by being unforgiving. You see, this really isn't a story about money, is it? It's a story about forgiveness and what we're willing to forgive. And so he is wicked because he will not forgive. Even that which is small, he will not forgive. He then declares, look, you received great mercy. You should have given mercy. This is how you displayed your wickedness. I had mercy on you, and you did not have mercy on someone else. And that was his wickedness. And so then he does have the wicked servant thrown in jail. And it's terrible. It's terrible to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. He can't pay it back. No amount of torture is going to accomplish that. And so he's in jail. And then Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Itero. Huh. It's incomprehensible to me. Family slaughtered. And yet, he was set free because he forgave from his heart. And that's the way we are to be. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As God has forgiven us, so we ought to forgive. You and I owe God an insurmountable amount for his forgiveness. We sin every day, even though we've been redeemed. We may have stopped sinning as much as we did before, and hopefully as we're being sanctified, we sin less and less, because that's the goal of God, to transform us. But we have a debt we could not pay. A debt that there was no possibility of paying. And God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son to die on the cross to pay your debt, to pay my debt, a debt we could not pay because we were incapable of paying it. We could have worked for him for all eternity and we would not have paid for it. But he took our multitude of sins upon himself and he died for us. And that is why, when someone does something to us that is sinful and hurtful, we must act like God and our Savior Jesus Christ and forgive. Even on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Forgiveness is at the center of the gospel, because those who are forgiven a great debt ought to forgive all the debts against them. Maybe you've been nursing a grudge and you're wondering, well, what do I do? Think about Jesus. Think about how he forgave you and forgive that person. Forgiveness is what God calls us to do. And we even pray it. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because this is the truth. If you cannot forgive, you indicate that you have not received forgiveness because you act like the servant who owed the insurmountable debt and was forgiven and would not forgive. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a forgiving community of believers. And it's not hard to forgive if you are thinking about how much you were forgiven. It's only hard to forgive when you're thinking about how much you were hurt. God in his grace has forgiven all of our sins. And he holds not one of them against us. Because of Jesus Christ. And we too must be people who forgive from our heart. Let's conclude as we've been doing by saying the Lord's Prayer together, praying that prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.